It's Marketplace Tech for October 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It is an earnings week, and that means opportunities for lots of big companies to brag or be humbled. Apple has had bragging rights for years, but it's slipping further into the humble zone this week. Reasons? In the last year, sales of the company's moneymaker, the iPhone, have slipped 5%. Sales of Apple Watches have also dipped. Message on the earnings call this week, here's CFO Luca Maestri.
We are selling everything that we can produce. And so we feel very confident about, you know, the trajectory for the company and for iPhone going forward.
Apple does have some good news. Sales in China's App Store just passed sales in America's App Store this week. It's only been a few days since a massive distributed denial of service attack slowed access to the internet across the U.S. A lot of different things to discuss, but today we want to focus on the end user, you and me and everyone else who might have a growing number of their internet-connected devices turned into botnets, a.k.a. zombified computers that bury websites with fake internet traffic. Lindsay Turrentine is editor-in-chief at CNET and has more. Lindsay, nice to have you back. Hit me with those best practices.
Strong passwords. This is the way to protect yourself. In the case of this giant distributed denial of service attack, some of the devices that were involved had their password either sort of a lame password already preset that didn't force you to replace it with your own strong password.
Right, the default.
Or even worse, a password that was baked into the firmware itself. If your device does not allow you to set up a password, don't use it. Return it.
Mm. So at a basic level, if you're connecting something to the internet, it should have its own password.
Absolutely. My tip, the tip that I give to my friends is use a sentence, something that you can remember because it's organic to you, but not necessarily a no-brainer.
We're seeing lots of new hardware in this space. Google Home, I'm waiting for mine. It hasn't showed up yet. Google's, Apple's, et cetera, et cetera. This constellation seems to grow and grow. Do you think things are going to get better or worse?
Well, I think that this particular event is going to make things a lot better. I think that all of those platform developers are being asked these really hard questions about what they're doing to protect households from possible attacks through third parties and making sure that they are also following good security practices.
Lindsay, can I make a recommendation too?
Yes, please.
If you are making something or selling something, and also if you are buying something, your first question about a product is why? Why does it need to be connected to the internet?
Well, I think that's a really good point and a really good question to ask yourself. And you have to ask yourself how much added convenience you're getting from the connection.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
All this week, we are taking a look at technology and voting. Today, we're going to talk about the specter of disruption at the polls, since voting is controlled at the state level and most voting infrastructure is really not connected to the internet. The system itself is relatively secure. The security vulnerabilities, as they often do, come from us humans. Gregory Miller is co-founder of the Open Source Election Technology Institute. Hello, Greg. What is this social hacking thing that you're worried about?
Social hacking is causing compromises or attempting to compromise an election through various social means. A little different than social engineering, this is about how do I take advantage of the capabilities of social media and the media to cause chaos. All that it takes is for a miscreant to wait until the penultimate hour, say 6:45, 7 o'clock in the evening, when the line of the precinct is out the door, and then I'm just going to simply call in the bomb threat. Now, what's going to happen with all those people, right? They're all going to Periscope and Facebook Live everything. And 3.5 hours later, when the bomb squad has cleared the building and discovered the paper bag with the empty bottle, the polling place is closed.
How can a voter try to protect themselves from this kind of scenario?
Believe it or not, we need them to do the very last thing they're likely to do.
Which is?
Turn off their phones. Put your head down. Get your ballot cast. And once your ballot is cast, then go consume your social media. Wade in and even play if you wish to. Hopefully you'll play fair.
So that's your advice for the voter. What about your advice for the folks who are working the polls, who are involved in the electoral process here?
We believe that every precinct right now should be posting publicly what steps they're taking to, if you'll allow me to coin a phrase, securify that election in that precinct. The second thing, they need to become as adept as possible at social media as quickly as possible, being able to catch that before it sways out of control. And then finally, the third thing is they probably need a PR crisis team.
You know, every polling place?
No. Okay. Elections jurisdictions, right, okay, sure, need to have that for the polling places that they are responsible for.
Do you think social media is a threat to democracy in this election, full stop?
That's a great question. And in fact, quite sincerely, I've had, you know, in working with the Department of Homeland Security and working with elections officials around the country, the question's been raised on several occasions. Do we need to shut down social media? Well, A, you're not likely to be able to shut down social media. But B, I'm not sure that you want to as just a constitutional principle of our democracy. I think we have to step up and figure out how to deal with that. It was one thing when we had to deal with a carnival barker in the town square. Well, that carnival barker now has a global system at their fingertips.
Gregory Miller, he is co-founder and chief development officer of the nonprofit Open Source Election Technology Institute. Gregory, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this week, we are asking you how you're incorporating technology into your Halloween costume. You can send us a photo or a story by the end of the week, and you might get a shout out. Anyone thinking of going as the Internet of Things this year? Spooky. You can reach us by calling or texting 304-87-TECH-1. That's 304-87-TECH-1. We'll be looking to hear from you. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.